On hearing her sister was returning, Lydia had hoped for swift deportation. She imagined receiving a terrified phone call from the airport announcing that Alice was being turned back. They wouldn't even be able to finish the call before Alice was marched away. The scene helped Lydia sleep. She refined the fantasy perfectly, the panic in her sister's voice, the mood of the day. It was going to be partly cloudy. The sun would break through just as they were hanging up. Her son would come down the stairs and ask her to go for a walk along the river, and the river would sparkle all afternoon. The doorbell rang, and through the stained glass she saw Alice, 23, tall, bony, light-filled, waving goodbye. She opened the door to a familiar stranger, 39, tall, bony, pale, saying hello. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. "Lydia," the woman screamed, eventually embracing her with surprising strength, the hair still wild and curly but now silver, probably still bumping into things all the time like their father. The woman pulled back. She held Lydia's shoulders and beamed, those eyes, slightly puffy and tired and wrinkled but still so bright. Her skin a little mottled. Her sister was unrecognizable but exactly the same. "Hi, Alice," she said. "It is so good to see you," Alice effused, her smile broad and full of teeth. When Alice smiled, she smiled with her whole body. He was her lost sister, and Lydia knew her immediately, as if she had never been away. And yet... "You don't look a day over 40," Lydia said. "Oh, that is hilarious," Alice replied. There was a formality to her tone that hadn't been there before, and an edge, a nervousness. She'd always been so confident, unflappable. The hopeful thought crossed Lydia's mind that the real Alice had been replaced by a clone, perhaps one with a better personality. They measured the years in a single second. Alice had never been happy in Fraser, had always been unsettled. Once she said they were going to go everywhere together. They would picnic in castles, drink wine on yachts, swim in the Aegean. But she went, and Lydia stayed. It wasn't a surprise that Alice left, but a surprise that she left so completely. "Are you going to let me in, sister, or am I to sleep in the front yard?" Lydia felt the old resentment rise, a resentment she couldn't completely place, couldn't put into words or actions or specific moments. But it was there still, unmoved and resolute. She pushed her delight down and swallowed the tears. She couldn't trust her sister's smile. She couldn't rely on her. She'd be gone again very soon. It was up to Lydia, and Lydia alone. "Your room's where you left it," she said. She went inside, leaving Alice and her bags on the porch. Lydia didn't remember how Alice liked her coffee or if she even liked coffee, so she made it strong, put the cup in front of her, and said, "Here." Alice eyed the cup suspiciously. Or did Lydia imagine that? Took a sip, grimaced, that too, then said, "It's good to see you, Lyd." She sat in her usual seat, facing the kitchen with her back to the wall. It was as if a ghost or an uncanny video game version of her sister was sitting there. "Your hair's faded," Lydia observed. "Yours is redder than I remember." "Well, you sound like a Brit. Whereas you sound as though the northern suburbs have taken root." "They have," Lydia replied, pouring herself another cup, "or I have." "This company you work for," said Alice. "What's it called again? Sciatica? Scullion? Scallops?" "Scintilla," she said. "What do you do there?" "I'm a senior trend innovator." "Uh-huh." Widening her eyes, Alice conveyed a secret disdain to someone who was not there. Lydia ignored her. "How long are you staying?" "Not sure. I thought I could help out." "Help out," Lydia repeated. She wondered why this person who claimed to be her sister was here. A silence settled between them. Alice tapped her foot, finished her coffee, went to the sink and washed her mug. "This is so odd. The taps are the same. The water makes the same sound going down the drain. It's like a museum." She picked up a can of air freshener. "Have you been buying the same air freshener for 16 years? Never occurred to me to change it." Alice rolled her eyes and Lydia clenched her teeth. "Heard from Mum and Dad?" Alice asked. "Constantly." "Well, Mum. Think they'll ever come back?" Lydia shrugged. "They've been back twice. I think they're happier in the sun." "Where's Georgie?" Alice asked. "His name's George and he's in his room." She picked up her mug with both hands to warm them. "He doesn't speak." Alice stopped inspecting the pepper grinder, a pepper grinder that Lydia now wished she had replaced, and looked at her. "He can't speak, or he chooses not to?" "He chose to stop speaking 2 months ago." "Why?" Lydia shrugged. "He said he was protesting information pollution through passive resistance, like Gandhi apparently, and then informed me he was giving up piano." "Was that related?" "You know, I'm not sure." "How do you communicate?" The protest only applies to the spoken word. He texts me sometimes, sometimes emails, it varies. Alice frowned. That's a little backwards. Yes, I've suggested as much. I haven't had a response to that email. Alice said. Let's see what we can do about that. Who's we?